The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Live from the smartwaytobuy.com studios.
Good morning. Welcome to your Tuesday morning briefing. Here's what you need to know to start your day with your host, former Saturday Night Live superstar Joe Piscopo. Produced by Frank Morano with news guy Al Gattulo and traffic with Debbie Duhame. This is the Joe Piscopo Show on AM 970. The Answer.
Don't believe me, just watch.
I tell you, Al, you've been hitting the gold with some of the music. Not this one. Not this one,
like Bruno Mars?
I do not like Bruno Mars. I do not like Bruno Mars.
He's fun. I have to say.
I'm sure he is. I don't know him. You know,
talented.
I don't know him.
Talented
guy. Look, it's like Bronx Tale, you know, when he says to his son, Mickey Mantle doesn't care about you. Bruno Mars doesn't care about me. He doesn't hang out with me. But the music is just,
puts on a great show, though.
He does put on a great show.
You both have seen the Bruno Mars
I've seen him in
show.
The Super Bowl performance he did a number of years ago, I'm very impressed.
All right, you know what? I do remember that one. You're right about that. But I would rather see, like, the Rolling Stones did a great show the year prior to that, and it was good.
I love the Stones, but I've seen the Stones so many times. I mean, God bless Keith Richards. Whatever he's doing to pickle himself, keep doing it because he stays alive. Everybody else
is going to outlive all of us.
I think so.
He's like a cockroach.
Yeah. God bless. Well, I promise.
Come on, Mick, we're going to play again. Let's go. You know,
it really is amazing they're still on tour. I mean, when you think about people that you know in your life
right.
that are the same age as some of the members of the Rolling Stone, and you look at them and you see
and
them.
And they've only been in the band for 20 years. You know,
right.
They're not even original members. Mick, apparently, from what I've heard from a number of people, rides a stationary bag backstage about 20 minutes before he goes on. And then comes out on the stage like, you know, pumped up and all jacked up or whatever, just to keep his heart rate up.
I do that too here at AM 970.
They
actually,
oh, yeah.
One of the conditions of me appearing on the network
machine.
Is, yeah, I say it every time. You guys have the best coffee machine in talk radio. So I want to spend this hour, a big chunk of this hour. First of all, 8:25, we got a special guest coming on the show, former Mayor Rudolph Giuliani. But I want to talk this hour primarily about the topic which I have dedicated a significant portion of my life in public service to, and that is the secession of Staten Island from the city of New York. Stexit, my friend, Stexit, something that has been talked about almost since the moment Staten Island was joined with the city of New York in 1898, something which Staten Islanders voted overwhelmingly to evaluate, 84% in 1990. And you were probably one of the 65% to overwhelmingly vote in favor of leaving in 1993. That's after sort of the facts came out about how much we'd have to cost, how much we'd have to spend, how much we'd have to raise. Staten Islanders still voted 2/3 to 1/3 to leave the city of New York. So I want to talk about this for a little bit. And if you want to call in, if you want to argue with me about it, you know the number. It is
877.
Al has to go through
970-2999.
Every single time. They usually write it out for me, but they didn't write it out today, so I apologize for everyone. So let's take you back to 1898, seminal year in Frank was four. Seminal year in the history of the city of New York. It was the year that New York was consolidated. It was not the year when the deal to consolidate the city was brokered. And this had happened over a number of years leading up to it. It took about 4 years for consolidation to happen. In 1894, Staten Islanders voted in favor of consolidating, in the highest margin of any of the future five boroughs because they thought they had the most to gain. The reasons the city consolidated, when you look back into some modern books like Gotham by Wallace and Burroughs, or David Hammack, Power and Society in Turn of the Century New York, these are really the benchmark works of history of New York. Or you just read the writings of a guy named Andrew Haswell Green, who was the one who actually consolidated the city. He led the movement. You'll see the purpose was, number one, to rid ourselves of corruption, which we didn't figure that one out, right? That didn't work out. We could all objectively say corruption wasn't eradicated from city government of New York. In fact, the only borough and only elective office in the new city of New York in 1898 to not have a Tammany man elected was Staten Island. Staten Island's first borough president was George Cromwell. He was the only non-Tammany Democrat elected to office. And we have seen, you know, numerous corrupt politicians over the year. The other reason to consolidate the city was to finance big projects, big infrastructure projects. This is about 15 years after the Brooklyn Bridge, a few years after the Manhattan Bridge. And the city, or the new city, was going to provide the tools, the financial tools, to bond and develop some of the big construction projects that were going to connect the future city together. That didn't happen for Staten Island. That happened for everywhere else. We saw bridges. We see 30-something bridges erected around New York City connecting the four other boroughs, but not one for Staten Island until 1964, and it wasn't even the city of New York that built it. We also saw the construction of subway lines throughout the early 20th century connecting the other three boroughs. This was a purpose of consolidation. And that purpose never materialized for Staten Island. There was the beginning of construction of a subway tunnel to connect the island to the system, and that was never finished. Mayor Hyland at the time broke ground. Nobody cut the ribbon because the project was called off. The final reason for secession, Al, and I know you're looking at me because you're interested in this.
I am.
The final reason was to develop the Port of New York in one consolidated plan. That's why the cutoff between Nassau County and the new borough of Queens was actually included Jamaica Bay. The planners actually thought Jamaica Bay might one day be a future deep water port for the city of New York, which gives it easy access to the Atlantic. That didn't happen, obviously, and that's okay. We have a wonderful natural resource there now. But Staten Island, which had the only rail connection to New Jersey and the mainland, thought that this would be a boon for Staten Island. Our ports and our bulkhead would be developed, factories would open up, shippers would choose Staten Island, and the economy would boom. You can read copies of the newspapers around the time, letters to the editors, interviews with men on the street. Journalism is journalism. They were talking to people about why they supported secession.
People forget the B&O Railroad ran on Staten Island, which connected into New Jersey. My grandfather was one of the guys who worked on that railroad and actually helped build the Staten Island Railroad.
The I think it was 1871, Erastus Wyman built the railroad across the Arthur Kill. It was a marvel of the era. It was a not a drawbridge, but it was a revolving bridge.
Portal bridge over in Newark that
very
is constantly
similar, very
broken
similar,
down.
Very yeah. similar. So it was a marvel of its time, and Staten Island believed that it would be included in the future prosperity of New York. Those things never, ever, ever, ever happened, Al. They did not happen for Staten Island. So the reason we consolidated never materialized. So when we start with why does Staten Island think it should secede, the first real question should be, how come the city never lived up to its 100-year-old promises to develop infrastructure and commercial infrastructure on Staten Island? Now, again, I don't think anybody wants a new container port on South Beach.
Right.
But there were certain things that just never materialized for Staten Island, and we still sort of suffer from the result. We have one train line. We actually had more rail lines and more ferry service before consolidation.
That's right.
As a fun fact.
And think about that. You know, you mentioned the whole thing about a subway tunnel that was supposed to connect Staten Island with Manhattan. That's one of the big things that Staten Island doesn't have that the other boroughs have. The other boroughs have a connected subway service or a train service that can get them anywhere on you know, to any of the boroughs. The only way Staten Islanders can get off the island is by taking either a bus or by driving.
Right.
They have no train option except for the Staten Island Rapid Transit, which only runs the length of the island and only runs on one side of the island.
Correct. And this goes into why Staten Island might want to secede. We have this culture where we attempt to break the car. I mean, this is the rhetoric politicians use. We're going to end the era of cars. We're going to break the car culture. Cars are evil. People on Staten Island aren't hot rodding down Highland Boulevard. Maybe right. Al was in his IROC Z in 92, South right? South End. But people aren't driving cars because they want a showboat. They're right. driving cars because they got to go to work. They got to take their kid to soccer practice. They got to go shopping.
Right.
Right? These are the reasons why we grow frustrated. Forgive Staten Islanders for thinking that the government that elects them should not be purposely making things inconvenient for them in order to change their behavior. If the city doesn't want us to take cars, how about they start investing in real, you know, BRT lines,
another fast ferry,
I mean, all these things. Don't penalize us for their failure right. to finance projects on Staten Island.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but the one big thing that I hear from people all the time when they say that there is something going on in Staten Island is you always get that sigh of, they live on Staten Island. Do you know how long it's going to take me to get there from Manhattan or from Brooklyn or from whatever? But if you had convenient options to get there other than the ones that are, and listen, the Staten Island Ferry, incredibly convenient. 30 minutes.
It's
fantastic. But you have to go to the bottom end of Manhattan in order to access it. You can't get another ferry anywhere else to get to Staten Island.
And I want to talk about the ferry in a little bit when we talk about some of the specifics, because the first complaint is, you'll have to pay for the ferry now. Newsflash, we already pay for the ferry. The city actually pays for the ferry. It's a political choice. But the first thing people always say is, we can't afford it. We can't afford it. And this could not be further from the truth. How do I know this? I know this for a couple of reasons. You compare us to other cities. Staten Island has 500,000 people. The city of Miami has 500,000 people. The city of Atlanta has 500,000 people. Right? All revenue, or most revenue, I should say, most revenue for municipalities comes from the property tax. Property taxes are what's called an ad valorem tax, meaning a tax on value. And Staten Island has, this is the city's own estimates, this is what the city of New York bases their taxes on. The city of New York has said Staten Island's total real estate value is $72 billion. That's last year's number. So we have $72 billion in which we could levy taxes on. The city of Miami, same size, population, has only $55 billion worth of real estate, the incorporated city of Miami. The city of Atlanta, and I'm not saying the whole Atlanta region, I'm saying the actual incorporated city of Atlanta, has only $44 billion through which they can raise taxes from. We have a larger reserve and a larger tax base than other cities. And I can assure you, you can say things are better, things are worse, things are different in those cities. That's fine. But the grass is getting cut in the parks. The fires are getting put out by a paid fire department. The police are coming. Ambulances are coming. All the things. The schools, districts are operating. All the things a city can do, we can do. People keep saying, well, you're going to have to pay for your own police and fire and sanitation. Yes. It turns out that if you're not part of the city of New York, you'll have to have your own municipal services like everywhere else in the country, not part of the city of New York.
Right.
Alway, you live in Jersey. I'm sure the garbage gets picked up. I'm sure.
Oh, I have to pay for my garbage.
We pay for our garbage.
Correct, through your taxes. I have to pay a separate payment to get my garbage picked up. But the next town over for me in Rahway, it's a part of your taxes, just like it would be if you lived on Staten Island or Manhattan or whatever. And you're right. The police and fire department and sanitation, yes, would be paid by Staten Islanders, but you're already paying for it. So there's no real, maybe you have to pay a little bit more attract.
Well, that's the thing. So in 1993, between 1990 and 93, there were a number of studies that studied the cost and revenues. All of them had different projections of revenue based on the formula, based on whether Fresh Kills would be closed, based on whether we'd have how we would appropriate debt, because obviously we have to take some of New York City's debt. We are responsible for some of New York City's debt. But all of them based their projections on duplicating services the city of New York now provides. I can tell you with certainty that we would not be duplicating every single service the city of New York provides. We would not be doing that. We would not have duplicative agencies like the Department of Consumer Affairs. I give this example every time. The Department of Consumer Affairs here is duplicative of the State Department of Consumer Affairs. We don't need a Department of Consumer Affairs. Every other county in the state doesn't have their own Department of Consumer. They just use the state resources. We don't have to have a public design commission and a landmarks commission and an office everything. We have the Commission on Human Rights. We have a whole bunch of things. We have a separate agency just to build our capital projects, the Department of Design and Construction, an agency designed to streamline, which actually does not streamline. So there is so much bloat, so much bureaucracy.
So are you saying the taxes that go towards that, obviously if you were to secede from the city of New York, you wouldn't be paying for those taxes, obviously, anymore.
No.
That money could be redirected to paying for police and
that
fire department.
That money's entirely directed to pay for the government of the city of New York. And the people, and I'm not presumptive enough to say that I would be elected to some government position, but we also can't make decisions for potential politicians and then blame that for the reason for not seceding. We can't say property taxes are going to go up. You don't know that. You don't know that because you have to see who gets elected to office.
Right.
If you elect a conservative Republican government, they're going to probably shed some of the stupid and duplicative systems that the city of New York has. If you elect a progressive liberal government for Staten Island, you probably will see higher taxes. And look, there's nothing wrong with that in the sense that we'll have our own voice and Staten Islanders can choose whoever they want. We're going to take a break. Coming back, we got Mayor Rudolph Giuliani himself. After that, we'll get back to the secession argument and we'll take your calls. This is Joe Borelli for Joe Piscopo.
And good morning to you, Councilman Borelli. Good morning, Al Cattullo. Good morning, everybody. Let's take a ride, see what's happening out here this morning. Traffic is moving along a lot better now at the inbound side of the Holland Tunnel. Had an earlier stalled vehicle over at the Holland Tunnel. That was cleared out of the way. Lincoln Tunnel looks fine. No problems to report this morning at the GWB. Overall traffic so much lighter today than normal. You're still moving okay over at the Queens Midtown Tunnel and the Ed Koch 59th Street Bridge. We're seeing some slowdowns in the Midtown area as we get ready for the big New Year's Eve celebrations. You'll see closures on Broadway, that whole area in the 40s. You're going to see a lot of closures there with a lot of extra police department activity as well getting through the area of Midtown today. Let's see what's happening on the southbound thruway. Still moving okay, getting down toward the Tappan Zee Bridge. New Jersey Transit on a modified schedule for today. Metro North on a reduced schedule. LIRR on time. No problems on the subways. Partly cloudy today, high of 46. You now know where not to go. I'm Debbie Duhaime on the Joe Piscopo Show. AM 970, The Answer.
Balance of nature. Changing the world, one life at a time.
I have to tell you, I am not having any stomach issues anymore. I am not having any pain in my arthritis, in my knees, and in my lower back. And it has also helped with my skin. I always had dry skin on my legs, always, even as a child. It's not drastic, but I notice it's just not that dry and scaly anymore. But I just feel like having this fruits and veggies and the fiber in my system, it has helped a lot. And I think it's even, and this just seems crazy, but I know my mental health has improved, and it seemed like it was a gradual thing. It's just amazing. And my husband, he's starting to notice too. He had a disc fused, and he notices when he's reaching back in the chair at night when he's laying and watching TV that his back is not, he doesn't have that pain as much anymore. I hear these women and these men on the radio talk about it, and I just feel like, yep, I believe them. That's me, and I believe everything that they say. Your commercials are not staged. They're real people talking about their real problems that you help them with. I know that the balance of nature is really helping me.
Experience the balance of nature difference for yourself. This is the season that focuses on family, faith, and love.
This holiday season, Balance of Nature is offering 25% off, a free travel set, and free shipping on your first preferred order of Balance of Nature. This will only be available until the end of the year, so don't wait. Call 800-2468-751. That's 800-2468-751. Or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code THEANSWER.
Listen to AM 970 The Answer on Alexa, TuneIn, iHeart, or radio.com.
Mike Lindell is the inventor and CEO of MyPillow. He wants to give you something back because he appreciates you building up MyPillow into the great company that it is. If you go to MyPillow.com and you click on Radio Listeners Specials, boom! Incredible discounts on MyPillow's mattress toppers, bed sheets, so much more. For example, Mike is offering a first-time buy one, get one free offer today on Giza sheets plus free shipping. I sleep on the Giza sheets. You're going to love them. By the way, a MyPillow, you got to get a MyPillow. It makes a great gift, but when you get a MyPillow, you get a great night's sleep. The mattress topper, I have it all. Plus, with this buy one, get one free offer today on Giza sheets plus free shipping, you get your money-back guarantee extended to March 1st. How about that? So go to the MyPillow.com page right there, and you click on Radio Listener Specials. Buy one, get one free offer on Giza sheets plus free shipping. Are you kidding me? 800-651-0798. 800-651-0798. MyPillow.com. Promo code AM970.
If it's happening in New York, New Jersey, or Long Island, hear about it with Joe Piscopo. Mornings 6 to 10 on AM970. The Answer.
Portions of this show sponsored by Route 22 Nissan.
And we're coming back into the Cranberries' dreams. I mean, sometimes I don't know whether Bill de Blasio is where his head is. He's dreaming off in the clouds.
Oh,
somewhere.
We know where it is. It's not running New York.
Dolores O'Riordan, though, lost too soon. Lost too soon. God bless. We have an unbelievable guest right now, someone who has been a tremendous figure in the history of New York, someone who I was with him about 2 years ago, and we were at an event at the Excelsior Grand on Highland Boulevard in Staten Island. And this guest is such a fan of the New York City Police Department that he made us walk outside of the Excelsior Grand to walk down to the 122nd Police Precinct in Newdorp. And the entire way walking along the street, cars were honking, cars were stopping, people were taking pictures, shouting at this man, praying for him to return as the mayor of New York City. I want to introduce former mayor of New York City, current personal attorney to President Donald J. Trump, Mayor Rudy Giuliani. Good morning, Rudy. How are you?
I am really, really good. Happy day before New Year's.
Happy day before New Year's to you as well. I got to start with this. I mean, I want to play this clip for you of a Democrat here in New York City, a Jewish Democrat, Dov Hyken, talking about Mayor de Blasio and his failed response to this string of anti-Semitic attacks. Let me play the clip, Matt.
Being an elementary school, kindergarten, you blame someone else. He's the mayor of the city of New York. He is in charge. And isn't it fascinating that all of these communities that have been victimized by anti-Semitism, unprecedented anti-Semitism, yeah, in New York and neighboring New Jersey now, Muncie, all of these communities, they love the president. They are his greatest supporters. And by the way, most of them are Democrats. They love the president. So you have these experts like the mayor of the city of New York and the governor. You know, they're the experts that it is Washington. It is the president that is responsible. It is just not true. And it is an excuse. You're the mayor. You're responsible. Do your job, which you have not done up until now.
Now, I tend to agree with Dov Hyken, but I want to hear your take. Why do you think someone like Mayor de Blasio is out there misleading people, blaming these anti-Semitic attacks on our president, Donald J. Trump?
Because, it's hard to say it in a nice way. He's probably the worst mayor in my lifetime. He's a failure as a leader. He does exactly the opposite. Dov is completely correct. You're supposed to take responsibility as a leader. And he forgot, or maybe he never learned, one of the great lessons of the Holocaust. The two great lessons of the Holocaust are never forget, and never ignore. Never ignore means you have to stand up to the first act of anti-Semitism. Do you know how much it's up this year in New York? I'm sure you do, Councilman. It's like 29%.
I think it's even 29%. More. Just anti-Semitic.
Anti-Semitic acts is up 29%.
Wow.
And that is extraordinary. Now, I started ComStat with Bill Bratton. If I had seen it up 2%, that's when I would have acted. Not at 10%, not at 15%, not at 20. And by the time you're at 29, this is going to be very, very hard to turn around. That has nothing to do with Bill Clinton. He was the president when I was president. And it has nothing to do with Donald J. Trump. It has to do with you. And the minute you think it does, you become a bad mayor. And he has been a very, very ineffective mayor in so many ways. But this is one I think that is inexcusable.
And this isn't the first time, Mr. Mayor. If you remember back in June, there was another string of attacks in central Brooklyn, and he declared to the media that anti-Semitism is a right-wing movement, as though people with MAGA hats were suddenly occupying central Brooklyn like it's this Republican hub and attacking all these innocent Jewish victims. And this couldn't be further from the truth. Am I correct?
Well, I mean, I think Doug made the point exactly. A lot of this has been directed toward the Orthodox community. The Orthodox community probably voted 90% for Donald Trump. It's probably going to vote 95% for Donald Trump last time. They helped elect me mayor. They voted 90% for me. It would be as if Trump supporters are attacking other Trump supporters.
Right.
It'd be ridiculous. I mean, do you occasionally get some nut? Of course. But does this have to do with Donald Trump? How could the president, who's been the best president for Israel, be the cause of anti-Semitism? If you go to Israel, Donald Trump's approval numbers are about 75%.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
I was mayor, really a rookie, must have been in March, 2 months on the job, and there was a shooting, and they shot at a group of students coming home from a lesson they had gone to, Hasidic students,
mm-hmm.
and they killed Ari Halberstam. And I told Bill Bratton that day, we're going to catch this guy within 24 hours, Bill, because this is not happening again. This is not happening in our city again. We're going to do everything. You're going to go on the air. I'm going to go on the air. We're going to put out pictures of them. We're going to ask people to turn in information about them. Now, I had been a U.S. attorney, so I knew how to investigate it. Of course, Bill was a very, very good police commissioner. But I acted with the first moment that there was anti-Semitism. And boy, anytime there was even a suggestion of it, I was on top of it. I was there with the community when there were anti-Semitic statements made, anti-Semitic actions made. I'd work with the Jewish groups. They all know me. I haven't seen him do that. We've gone up 29% and don't know about it.
Mr. Mayor, I saw your exchange with him on Twitter, and I found something quite ironic. You had started off by suggesting a return to some broken windows police and basically enforcing the law, basically having aggressive police patrol Brooklyn neighborhoods where Orthodox Jews reside in bigger numbers. He criticized you and said you were out of touch, and yet the very same day, he actually, and finally, after a year of rises, ordered more police to neighborhoods where Orthodox Jews happen to live. Isn't it insane?
It's too bad we have to talk about him, you know?
Yeah.
He's such a useless force in politics. I mean, how stupid is that? The broken windows theory is outdated. Here's the broken windows theory. Broken windows theory comes from never ignore. It's pay attention to the little things because they build up into big things. The little things were how the Jews were being treated in Germany in the 20s. That built up to the way the Jews were being treated in Germany in the 40s. The little things were the things that happened in New York City in the 1970s that led to three decades of murders, over 1,800 a year. They're now down to 300. Oh, by the way, that was all under Democrat mayors that those murders took place. Well, except for John Lindsay, but actually two of his years was a Democrat. Republican mayor comes in. A Republican mayor does broken windows. He does ComStat. And we do a number of programs that are designed to help the community. And by the way, I get a tremendous reception now in minority communities where there was an awful lot done to try to get people to hate me. Well, it's kind of passed away. I get people that come up and say, thank you so much for reducing crime. You made Harlem a lot better. The people who represented Harlem just stole money from us. You took care of us. The reality is you've got to deal with these things early and often. And to me, anti-Semitism is something I learned when I was a child in the neighborhood I grew up in. I went to Israel in the mid-'80s, took on two cases involving former Nazis that ran concentration camps. One killed 20,000 people, the other 12,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
These things live with you, and it's either in you or it isn't. And this man doesn't seem to, well, I don't even know, I just think he's lazy.
Well, let me ask you something, both as the former mayor and as a former prosecutor. We saw the front page of today's Post has this particular woman who was arrested for assaulting three Jewish women. Our police officers did their job. They made the arrest. They solved the crime. They threw her in jail. She was out, and the very next day she was out there assaulting Jewish people again. I mean,
if we're talking about somebody that's out of touch.
Mm-hmm.
That we used to call that in the 80s turnstile justice.
Right.
And we did away with it. Ed Koch did away with it, pal. Somebody mm-hmm. should tell him. A Democratic mayor. Because Ed Koch realized how ridiculous is it that you arrest somebody for drug dealing and they're back out on the street in 6 hours. Every kid in the neighborhood becomes a drug dealer because they realize, wow, I can make a lot of money.
There's no consequence.
Nothing happens. I spent 6 hours downtown. This is ridiculous to do that. You have to pay consequences for crime. And if it's a small crime, like, let's say, small drug dealing, if they pay consequences early, they don't do big drug dealing.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a burglary and they're 14 or 15, they get caught and they pay consequences. Then a good many of them are deterred from doing it. Beyond them, so are the kids in the neighborhood. The kids see the big shot drug dealer. He's running the neighborhood. He gets arrested. He shows up in 6 hours. They figure he paid off the cops.
Mm-hmm.
And they all start to follow him. Like, this man doesn't read history. He doesn't read history.
Were you surprised at all in how poorly he did in the presidential race, you know, where he didn't even register as a blip? Look, you can criticize Mayor Bloomberg for a number of things, but at least there were some people who recognized some competence. Were you surprised?
I don't criticize Mayor Bloomberg. I never did. He was mayor for 12 years.
No, sure. And that's what I mean. People could agree with him or disagree with him.
I have philosophical differences with him.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, as a mayor, not in general, completely as a mayor, he was a very good mayor.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciated the fact that I was followed by a mayor who took his job seriously.
Right.
And I felt so good. People used to ask me, do you miss being mayor, maybe 4 or 5 years out? And I'd say, no, I don't. I think I would miss it if somebody were not doing a good job, but Mike's doing a good
right.
job.
And that's my point. Well, Mayor Bloomberg did.
Man, I don't want to overstate it. This man has broken my heart.
Were you surprised, though, how bad he did in the polls?
He's ruined things that I worked 24 hours a day and my staff worked 24 hours a day. Fought tremendous battles, got accused of horrible things to turn welfare around. All I did was get people jobs, by the way,
mm-hmm.
hundreds of thousands of them. But I'd be accused of being bigoted and all sorts of other things. I saved more lives in the African-American community than any mayor in history with what I did with crime. We went down from...
It's measurable. It's measurable.
2,000 murders to 500 murders, mm-hmm. now to 300 murders, and 70% of the victims were African-American. And I specifically put more police in those neighborhoods to save their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I did programs to revitalize those neighborhoods to save those lives. To watch that turn around, and I think I got anti-Semitism down to something where it never doesn't happen. But I certainly didn't get a 29% increase
right.
in it, and then wake up, you know, from my sleep and say, "Ooh, it's Donald Trump's fault, or it's Bill Clinton's fault."
Right. Last question.
You got to take responsibility. This is your city. You're responsible for it. The minute you hear a mayor blaming on something else, Blame it on the mayor.
I want to ask you one more question of whether something surprises you. There was a report out yesterday that 180,000 New Yorkers left this year. And throughout the decade, we have led the 50 states in people who are fleeing our state for better states around the country. Do you think, as the Democrats point out, that this is Trump's fault because of salt tax? Or do you think this is more fundamental? Right.
Trump's fault. That's what I inherited when I became when I became mayor of New York City. Our population had shrunk by, I don't know, 700,000-800,000. People were leaving in droves. We hadn't gotten a new Fortune 500 company in 30 years, and we had a 10.5% unemployment rate. And I got it down to 5%. I got new companies back, and New York City became the best place to have a business in the country within 3 years. And I did it by lowering taxes. Lowering them to sensible amounts that don't drive businesses and people out. That is what's killing New York.
Well, Mr.
What's
Mayor,
killing New York are the ridiculous tax rates that both the governor and the mayor impose. At least the governor opposes some of them.
Right.
The mayor has increased taxes so much. Imagine being able to save 12, 13, 14, 15% on your income and keep it for your family.
Oh, I would love that. My friends would love that. I just want to thank you for taking the time, and I want to speak on behalf of Staten Island. I'm trying to revitalize the secession movement because of how bad things are, but I want to point you out for actually taking the initiative and including Staten Island in government when you were mayor and taking the political risk of closing our landfill and doing what was right by the people of Staten Island. If I never get a chance to say you that publicly, I want to make sure I take this opportunity to say that to you now.
Well, it's really important with the new year coming on that we realize that we got to come together as New Yorkers. And this next election for mayor is going to be critical. And it shouldn't be Republican or Democrat. It should be, let's pick somebody who can really do the job. I was a Republican. Mike, I think you'd really say, was an independent. I think we did a pretty good job. And all these cities with Democratic mayors, in many, many cases, the one constant in these cities that have fallen apart, high crime, high murder, Democrat mayors. Look what happens when you get a reformer, an independent, a Republican. Almost always you get reform.
Good things. Well, thank you for joining us this morning, Mayor, and good luck defending our president. He needs the help, and we wish you luck.
Always a great president. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a little bit of news with Al.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970. The answer.
39 degrees at 8:41. I'm Al Gattulo with local news first. Here's what's going on. The New York City Buildings Department is cracking down after debris fell near Times Square earlier this month, killing an architect. Since 60-year-old Erica Tishman was struck and died on December 17th, 220 new violations have been issued. The DOB took a closer look at over 1,300 buildings that were known to have shoddy exteriors or facades. Buildings Commissioner Melanie LaRocca says they're doubling down on their efforts to hold landlords' feet to the fire in an effort to get repairs done as quickly as possible. And Governor Cuomo wants state lawmakers to pass a bill that would only allow registered retailers to buy e-cigarettes online by phone or mail. In a proposal released Sunday, Cuomo is also calling for a ban on all flavored vaping products, including nicotine. Cuomo also wants a ban on vaping advertising that some argue is used to get the youth hooked. The governor is expected to detail the proposals at his State of the State address next month. These are the latest ideas in Cuomo's effort to reduce the high number of teens who are vaping. In sports, Giants now looking for a new head coach. Pat Shurmur fired by team ownership. Shurmur led the team for 2 years, finishing up with a 9-23 record, including a franchise record tying 9-game losing streak this season. General manager Dave Gettleman remains with the team. Nets lose in overtime to the Timberwolves, 122-115. Seton Hall over DePaul, 74-66. In college hoops tonight, St. John's will take on Butler. The pregame is at 7:10. The tip-off is at 7:30. And it's right here on AM 970, The Answer. Stuck in traffic, Debbie Duhame has got the answer.
And good morning, Al. Thanks. Let's go to 9A southbound, getting down toward 117 into Briarcliff Manor. It's a big pothole. A couple of people getting flat tires there, so steer clear of that. On 9A southbound, down through Briarcliff Manor, 35 in Katona, out past Cobbling Rock Road. We're getting reports of an accident there. And the sawmill north at Grant Street, heading up into Pleasantville. That's a stalled vehicle. Tappan Zee Bridge is moving okay. Inbound GWB, Lincoln, and the Holland, all moving moving along fine. One southbound at Plainfield Ave, getting down into Edison. It's a broken water main. Two lanes remain blocked there. It's kind of busy in both directions. Watch out for a slight delay here on the Harlem River Drive north in the 150s with a collision. And we're seeing delays southbound with emergency activity at the scene as well. And if you're heading to Times Square, watch for the closures, getting ready for the big New Year's Eve celebration later on today into tonight. Sunny today, high of 46. You now know where not to go. I'm Debbie Duhaime on the Joe Piscopo Show, AM 970, The Answer.
Sponsored by Indeed. Used by over 3 million businesses for hiring. Where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire.
In an era where it's tough to know which news outlet to trust, at a time where it's difficult to find facts, not just opinion, there is an oasis in the news desert. It's the Katz Roundtable. John Catsimatidis, the personification of the American dream, who built a multi-billion-dollar business empire, talks with some of the nation's top newsmakers every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. You won't just hear partisan spin. You'll hear directly from the newsmakers who are shaping the news cycle in the city, the country, and the world. On the Katz Roundtable, you won't just hear about politics. You'll hear about science, business, education, animal rights, and any other topics that you're interested in. Catch the Katz Roundtable every Sunday morning, starting at 8:30, right after Marano in the Morning on AM 970. The Answer.
What's in store this week at your local Staples?
It's time to start fresh with a nice, clean calendar.
Time flies when you have a million things to keep track of.
Which is why there's no better time than now to get organized with help from Staples.
Staples has the organizational products you need at great prices every day.
And right now, 2020 desk pad calendars are just $3.99 each.
So make time to save on all your office essentials at Staples.
Where there's a whole lot more in store.
In store only at 1420.
Take AM 970 The Answer anywhere you go with our mobile app. Get in on iTunes, Google Play, or listen on TuneIn, iHeart, Alexa, or radio.com.
Planning for the future is important. Are you and your family protected? If you're not around to make the decisions, who will? Are your assets protected from probate and nursing home costs? The time to plan is now. If you need a will, trust, power of attorney, health care proxy, living will, estate plan, the goal of Connors and Sullivan's attorneys is always the protection of your rights and your interests. They've been helping people like you plan their estates and protect their families for over 30 years. Visit them for a no-obligation, free consultation. Talk with Mike Connors or one of their experienced attorneys and see how they can help you protect your family, your assets, and your legacy. There's no one strategy that fits everyone. The biggest mistake when it comes to estate planning is not planning at all. Call Connors and Sullivan today to schedule a free consultation with an attorney at any of their convenient locations in Brooklyn, Manhattan, Queens, Staten Island, 718-238-6500, 718-238-6500, or visit ConnorsandSullivan.com.
America First with Sebastian Gorka, coming up at 3 on AM 970. The Answer.
Live from the smartwaytobuy.com studios.
And welcome back. We just finished our interview with former Mayor Rudy Giuliani, who did not hold back against our current mayor, Bill de Blasio. And by the way, I'm glad he said some positive things about Mayor Bloomberg. Mm-hmm. I'm not supporting Bloomberg for president. I think he did a lot of things wrong. But my goodness, there was a general competence of Mayor Bloomberg that just isn't really there anymore.
There was a piece that the Times did about Bloomberg. I think it was last week or the week before. It was part of it was Rudy's endorsement of Bloomberg that allowed him to be elected mayor. I mean, that was a big stamp of approval that, hey, this is the guy that can take us to the next level. So
we're going to come back and talk a little bit about Staten Island seceding. I just got a text from Rudy saying, thanks for having me on. And he said, Joe, I hope you run for mayor. And I wrote back to him actually saying, yes, sir, of the city of Staten Island. So let's take one call from Charlie about secession.
Charlie Finch here. Happy New Year, gentlemen and Debbie. Councilman Borelli, every time you bring up secession, I have visions of Joe Piscopo, Governor Murphy, and some Jersey state troopers rowing across the Arthur Kill and getting Staten Island, seizing it for New Jersey. Look at a map. Look, 20 years ago,
I would have said, take us, Jersey, you know, take us. But now with Governor Murphy, I don't know.
Send a delegation to Governor Murphy and make a deal, like Alaska does with the oil companies, mm-hmm. and get some dough for every Staten Island resident, and would have the ancillary benefit of breaking up the liberal Democratic hegemony by putting Murphy and Cuomo at each other's throats. And you can deal with other issues like the new Hudson Tunnel, issues which Al Cattullo talks about a lot.
Well, I think you're right.
And also Jersey Transit and the Port Authority. Does your problem solve, Councilman Borelli? 2020, rock on.
Certainly many of my constituents do move for greener pastures in New Jersey. You can't make that up.
True, but I think part of the thing about, you know, moving Staten Island to New Jersey, I think presents a whole myriad of problems.
Well, it was settled in a lawsuit in 1834, right. with the Hudson River being split. But the legend of why Staten Island is part of New York and not New Jersey is a very fun legend. Captain Christopher Billop, this privateer, there was apparently some call to whichever islands could be circumnavigated in the Hudson River estuary within 24 hours would be part of New York. And this guy, Christopher Billop, according to the legend, sailed his boat around Staten Island in just under the 24-hour period. And that's sort of how it happened. He gets a manor house called the Manor at Bentley on the southern tip of Staten Island. And it's where the conference.
That's the conference house.
That's
correct.
The conference house. So okay. That's where we all came from. But cool. I definitely want to take another call about secession, so if you want to call me later, it's 877-970-2999. I'm happy to have any conversation about secession, but for now, we're going to speak to Debbie once again about the traffic secession. Mm-hmm.
There's always traffic, usually on the Staten Island Expressway, Councilman Borelli, but not this morning. It's nice and light this morning on the Staten Island Expressway eastbound, heading out toward the Verrazano Bridge. No problems over on 440. It's a decent ride at the Outer Bridge crossing. No problems at the Gotholls Bridge. Now, I do see some volume for you on the eastbound BQE getting up toward the Battery Tunnel. Also seeing some volume over on the BQE getting up toward that merge with the Grand Central Parkway. Expect slowdowns on the Harlem River Drive. It's busy on the Harlem River Drive in both directions. Northbound in the 150s, it's an accident blocking two lanes. Southbound, emergency vehicles at the scene. We're seeing some stop-and-go traffic as well as you take a ride over to that eastbound BQE, again getting up toward the Battery Tunnel. And expect slowdowns on Route 1 southbound at Woodbridge Ave. Getting into Edison, that's a broken water main, two lanes from Main blocked. You now know where not to go. I'm Debbie Duhaime on the Joe Piscopo Show, AM 970, The Answer.
The staff at AM 970, The Answer, would like to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and the happiest of New Years.
Hi, this is Peter, the business manager at Salem Media of New York, wishing everyone a Merry Christmas.
Hi, this is Yuri Suhukov, producer here at Salem, New York. I want to wish you all a happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year.
From AM 970, The Answer.
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
Joe Piscopo here, coming to you from the SmartWayToBuy.com studios. If you look around these days, everything is getting smarter. Smartphones, smart TVs, even smart refrigerators. Well, now, after 100 years of the same old dumb way of buying cars, there's the smart way to buy a car. Just go to thesmartwaytobuy.com and see how easy they've made it. With really smart things like the Smart Way to Buy's 110% low price guarantee that ensures you are getting the best price for your next used vehicle. Need a car for commuting to work? Do you have a teenager looking for the first car? Well, then you should definitely visit the Smart Way to Buy.com. It's your go-to place for the widest selection of used cars in New Jersey. Plus, every vehicle comes with a 5-day, 500-mile exchange policy, so you can't lose. Now, that's smart. The Smart Way to Buy, only at thesmartwaytobuy.com. That's thesmartwaytobuy.com. Anything else just wouldn't be smart.
What is it costing you in vet bills for that convenience of just pulling open a bag of
formulated, extruded, processed cereal bits? That costs a ton of money anyways.
How do you feed your dog to derive not only energy, but a good coat, bright eyes, and a great attitude?
Come to Dynavite for help.
DINOVITE.com.
I found his raw meat diet on Dynavite.com.
With just the raw meat and the eggs and the Dynavite and the Super Omega on top of it.
Try Super Omega fish oil.
Buy two, get one free.
Ground beef, white rice, eggs, including the shells, and the Dynavite supplement, and then the LicoChops.
Try LicoChops. Buy two, get one free.
It just balances out his body and his mind and his spirit.
Adding Dynavite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
Their skin is so much better now that they're on the raw diet. I don't even give them the kibble anymore.
Dinovite.com.
It's Red Kettle time, folks. This holiday season, the Salvation Army invites you to join the fight for good, and I do too, because this is important. It's a fight to support the 13 million children who live in poverty across the U.S. It's a fight to help the hard-working families across our communities who struggle to put food on the table, make rent, and keep the electricity on every single day. In fact, the Salvation Army serves over 23 million people in the U.S. every year with vital services including shelter, meals, and holiday assistance. So as the year comes to a close, I'm asking you to make a tax-deductible donation for good. Go to team970.org. At team970.org, whether you give a little or a lot, every dollar does a world of good in your community. Love has an army, and together with the Salvation Army, we can continue doing the most good. Again, that's team970.org.
Did you miss what happened on the Joe Piscopo Show live stream? Catch up on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/AM970TheAnswer.
Portions of this show sponsored by Route 22 Toyota.
Welcome back. This is Councilman Borelli filling in for Joe Piscopo. Again, we want to hear from you on secession, 877-970-2999. I'm hearing from a lot of people out there on Staten Island saying they support it. Grandma Chickie, I heard you loud and clear out in Staten Island. Thank you so much for offering your support. We got a couple of callers. Al, can we go to Mr. Watson here?
Yeah. Go ahead, buddy. You're on.
Buddy, are you on?
Let me tell you something. I've been sitting here for hours. And again, it's not like I don't have a life. I have a life, okay?
Questionable.
I have a lot of things going on. By the way, happy holidays, Joseph.
You too.
Good to hear your voice.
By the way, full disclosure, buddy here is my high school football coach and current friend and a good friend of Al Gattulo.
That's true. But after this call, may not be.
That's it. And again, I know time is precious here, so I don't want to take up too much of it because, again, I've been sitting here for – what time did you guys go on here?
6 a.m.
I've been sitting here since 6 a.m. waiting for a phone number.
So you could have called. You could have texted me.
You know what? It gets to a point where, like, enough is enough. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean,
make your point because we've got to get to weather.
I have two quick beefs, and then I'll leave you guys alone. One is this thing with Sat on Secession. Joe, thanks for picking up the flag on this one as well.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
How many years has this island been? And again, I can't say anymore because I'm one of those transplants.
121.
That upstate. What's that?
We've been getting the short end for 121 years.
121 years. I remember back when I was a kid, and this was picked up by Borough President Molinari. Trying to pull away. And every time we try to pull away, something pulls us back in. I hope you keep the fight. The other thing, too, is thank you. I saw your post yesterday. As a teacher, thank you for posting and getting Kenny Zapata over at IS-75 and getting to talk about the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you. Ken Zapata, another high school teacher and friend of mine, is the principal of IS-75 on Staten Island. Every single year, he honors the fallen of 9/11 with Patriot Day, his student government. They get out there. They say the pledge. They sing patriotic songs. So Fox and Friends asked me to get a bunch of students, and I was proud to get them. Buddy, thank you for calling in. Right now, let's check the weather with Joe Lundberg. Joe, how are we doing out there?
We're better today. We're just going to be a mostly cloudy day, maybe a few sunbreaks this afternoon. We'll get into the upper 40s. At the stroke of midnight tonight, about 40, it's going to feel like it's around freezing. So not too bad for, you know, for Times Square and for, you know, the bringing in of 2020. Then we go into 2020 itself, partly sunny, about 43 tomorrow, upper 40s on Thursday, then some rain Friday and Saturday.
Well, thank you very much, Joe. When we come back, we got Daniel Turner, Dan Geltrude, and George Anthony DeVolder Santos running for Congress. This is Joe Borelli filling in for Joe Piscopo on this, the last day of 2019. Thank you very much.
Is AM 970 the answer?
39 degrees at 8:59. I'm Al Gattulo with local news first. Here's what's going on. Marcal reopening their Elmwood Park paper mill about a year after a massive fire burned it to the ground. The January 2019 blaze was so devastating, 30 of 36 buildings were demolished in August over the past year. Tons of debris were cleaned up and equipment repaired or replaced. Marcal will be hiring qualified candidates to work at the new facility as it begins its gradual return to a 24-hour operation. The paper mill reopens in January. The Route 70 auction and flea market is no more. The business, which had been in operation for 40 years, shut its doors for good last Sunday. The owners of the well-known Lakewood business say their lease was just not renewed. In sports, Nets lose in overtime to the Timberwolves 122-115. Seton Hall over DePaul 74-66.